Well, finally, WrestlePalooza is upon us. We won't have to hear the name WrestlePalooza after tomorrow, the kickoff of the ESPN era. In case you didn't know, I don't know how you would not know if you would have watched the show tonight. They made that very clear. You know, I have to say, as I was watching this conclusion to this episode of SmackDown, which was not a terrible show, it was a solid enough go-home show, but there's a pattern that is developing here. Where would this show be if it wasn't for the Sami Zayn U.S. title open challenge matches? Like, if you take those matches out of the equation and you look at SmackDown, like, fucking yikes. Seriously, where would this show be without those matches? Because those matches have become the highlight of SmackDown ever since they started. So I don't know what that says about the rest of the show, but thank God we at least have that. What we had in the closing segment tonight was Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. They are wrestling for the WWE Championship tomorrow. We now know that will be the main event of the show. They are closing the show with the WWE title match. That is the belief. We certainly know what match is not closing the show. We know John Cena and Brock Lesnar are opening the show. They did confirm that. But we had a contract signing with Cody and Drew, and we haven't really had a whole lot of interaction between the two of them because Cody was gone. He was away. He was filming Street Fighter, as Roman Reigns is right now. He's gone. He's filming. So in terms of the buildup to this WWE title match, we really haven't gotten a whole hell of a lot, right? McIntyre kicked Cody into the announce desk. That was over a month ago. Cody vanished. Cody came back. We got a contract signing. When it was over, the champion was left laying. The challenger was standing tall. Probably doesn't bode well for Drew McIntyre, but I have to say, if they are closing the show with Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre tomorrow, they have to do something big. And the biggest thing that you could do would be to put the WWE Championship on Drew McIntyre, but I just don't see it. I don't see it. Cody is defending his title for the first time since winning it back at SummerSlam. This is his first title defense since beating John Cena. And they're just going to take the championship away from him? I would certainly consider doing it. I can't see them doing it. But if this is going to be the main event of the show, something big has to happen. Does that involve Randy Orton? Are we going to get a Randy Orton heel turn at the end of WrestlePalooza tomorrow? That would certainly be a big development. But I just can't see this being the main event and then doing just the, you know, Cody beats Drew, right? How fucking lame would that be? Or just doing some sort of nonsensical finish without there being some kind of big angle that they do to close out that show. But they were in the closing segment on tonight's show. Brock Lesnar, as he will tomorrow, he opened the show, and he wreaked all kinds of havoc in the opening segment, leaving an announcer lay. He was attacking the announcers tonight, which is a very interesting way of building up his match here with John Cena. And the closest thing to any sort of explanation, and it's not really an explanation, but it's the closest thing to cling to as far as why he has been attacking John Cena, actually came later on in a video package where we got a little snippet from Brock talking about how John is on this staged phony retirement tour and I'm going to fuck it all up. That's the closest thing to an explanation that we've gotten of why Brock Lesnar chose now, after 2 years, to come back and go after John Cena. Of course, John Cena was not on the show tonight because he is done with SmackDown. We will not see him on SmackDown ever again here for the duration of his retirement tour. We did have another entry in the U.S. Title Open Challenge, thank God, because without it, my God, this show would have sucked. Sami Zayn defending the championship against Carmelo Hayes. Another very good match. We had the women's tag team titles on the line as well, which wasn't so good. It was fine. It was decent. It really wasn't anything special. And that's a great way to describe this episode of SmackDown. Not really anything special. They did the hard sell for the things they had to do the hard sell for, but the two key matches that they built up on this show, if you really think about the way they built those matches up, has left a lot to be desired. And the best built match on this entire PLE tomorrow involves a woman who has not wrestled in 10 years. That mixed tag match with CM Punk and AJ Lee against Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch is the best built match on that PLE tomorrow. The the two key matches on SmackDown. They've done the bare minimum of what they could do. Some people weren't available, whatever the case may be. But here we are, and it is still a five-match card. There was talk of it being expanded to six. In fact, there was a women's championship triple threat match that was listed apparently on some of the t-shirts for the show. Plans change. And it has nothing to do with an injury. We'll talk about that as well. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. It is September 19th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for hanging out with me here on a Friday night. Do me a favor, like and subscribe. Super chats are open as well. We have a little goal going in the chat. You will see they will be triggered on screen as they come in. Hey, the Boba Fett's in the chat has the right idea. I've heard from a lot of people asking me about the VPN. That's how I will be tuning into WrestlePalooza tomorrow, and I suggest you do the same. Especially if you are someone who does not have access to ESPN and they're going to force you to pay $30 for this five-match card tomorrow. I'm telling you, ExpressVPN and Netflix, it's all you need. If you got a Netflix account, you're good, man. These PLEs are still airing internationally on Netflix in most markets. So that's what he's doing, he says in the chat. That's what a lot of you guys should be doing tomorrow when you tune into WrestlePalooza. You'll thank me later. But yeah, get those super chats on in. I'm going to be reading your messages, and we'll have some fun with that. Also, I want to mention channel memberships, always open. And just before SmackDown went on the air tonight, I actually got up a new episode of the Lost episodes. This one's pretty cool. Among the Lost episodes of the Sound Off is this edition of SE Scoops Live. From March 24th, 2008, right before WrestleMania 24. This was the old Monday Night Raw post show that myself and Noah Mark did for a period of time. And we had live call-ins, we did WrestleMania predictions, some cool stuff going back and listening to it. That is up right now, just went up tonight. If you are on the Legends tier channel members, you have access to that almost an hour of that episode of SE Scoops Live. You want to talk about going back in the vault. There you go. That's going back in the vault right there. So go ahead and check that out. More content to come. Now's a great time to become a channel member. Let's get into this show here, though. Talk about SmackDown. Sidro, again, thank you. And we'll be getting to your message and everybody else's here as we go along. They open the show tonight with a shot of Michael Cole and Corey Graves. And by the way, Wade Barrett is scheduled back any week now. Wade Barrett was only taking 2 weeks off. He is going to be back likely. I don't know if he'll be there at WrestlePalooza tomorrow. I think Pat McAfee is going to be back on the show since it's in Indianapolis. But by next week, I would expect to see Wade Barrett back on TV. But they open with Cole and Corey Graves at ringside, announcing that John Cena versus Brock Lesnar is going to open the show tomorrow at WrestlePalooza. Cole said that he was supposed to sit down with Brock for an interview later on, but he was being told in his ear, Tony Khan was telling him. He relays those messages to Tony Schiavone every week. He was relaying a message that Brock apparently wanted to talk now. So Cole took his glasses off and he stood up and he went to go interview Brock Lesnar. He made it as far as the aisle before Lesnar's music hit. And out comes Cowboy Brock. And he walks down the aisle, and Michael Cole looks like he's about to shit himself. Terrible Dry Chicken says, Wade Barrett and Pat McAfee are doing commentary on WrestlePalooza. There you go. Wade Barrett will be back, according to him, tomorrow. I said he's going to be back any week now. Yeah, Welfare Queen says, my mom misses Jacob Fatu. Yeah, where's he been? I see he's been doing some dark matches. I think he had a dark match last week against Rusev. That's great and all. Where the fuck is Jacob Fatu? Boy, did they cool him off. Where's he been? No, but we got a vignette tonight with Tonga Loa and Solo Sikoa. It's ridiculous. Brock walks down the aisle. He grabs Michael Cole like a child, and he puts him over his shoulder. He proceeds then to walk around the ring. He circles the ringside area with him, walks up the ring steps, and then dumps him into the ring. And Brock follows him into the ring, and he had Cole in the corner. He was threatening to destroy this man. Corey Graves could take no more. Corey Graves is a man that sticks up for his friends, and so he puts his headset down, he gets into the ring, and he approaches Brock. This is like approaching a wild animal, you know, in a zoo. You're not supposed to get that close. Bad things could happen. And he's trying to calm down Brock Lesnar, which is a terrible idea. And so for his efforts, Brock grabs Corey, he picks him up on his shoulders, and he delivers an F5. And that is the first bump that Corey Graves has taken since he retired in, what was that, 11 years ago? 2014, I believe. Now, he's been medically cleared. For those who don't know, Corey Graves is medically cleared. If he wanted to wrestle, take bumps, he's been medically cleared for about 3 years now. He just chooses not to. So every now and then, to use him in an angle like this could be very effective. So he gets laid out with an F5. The crowd starts chanting for John Cena. Lesnar grabs the camera, and he begins yelling into it, and he's saying, "John, it's D-Day tomorrow. I'm coming for blood." That's as close to an explanation as we're going to get. That and that little snippet from the interview package later on, that's about as close to an explanation as we're going to get. He wants blood. Brock, he's a vampire. Brock is back for blood. So after that, he paces around ringside. He destroys the Prime Hydration Station. Oh, fuck. I've been waiting for somebody to do that. Of course, he doesn't. Nobody's going to tell him not to. So he's throwing shit around. He's picking up the ring steps, and he sees it in the ring. A bunch of producers have gotten into the ring to try to assist Corey. He gets into the ring. He chases all of them away. And then he picks Graves back up. He delivers a second F5. And the crowd was so concerned for Corey Graves, for the welfare of this man, they begin chanting one more time. And Brock, being the heel, does not oblige. He leaves the ring. Everybody boos. And Brock heads to the back. It was a hot segment. I'll say that. It was a chaotic way to start the show. It was a different way to start the show, which I appreciate. You know, when they deviate from the norm and they do something that hasn't been done in a while, it's good, right? Because they follow the same formula generally week to week. So I like what they did here in this segment, the chaos. I don't know that it does much to add to the match with him and John, necessarily. You know, it just reinforces the idea that this man isn't just like an uncaged animal, right? He's like a wild beast. And you don't know what he's capable of. You don't know what he's, you know, how far he's willing to go. I mean, that was the idea, basically, that they were driving home. But this is a match that has not had any real build. You know, these two obviously have history together. They've had many matches before. But in terms of this one, this being their final one, there has not been much build to speak of here in this match. And it has been sold purely based off of the names involved. You know, John Cena has a very limited number of matches left. Brock Lesnar is wrestling his first match in over 2 years. They're both big names, and that's how the match is being sold. And that might work for some people. It doesn't work for others. There are some people, I'm sure, who are very excited to see this match again. And I know there are a lot of people who are not. Doesn't mean they're not going to tune in, but it's hard to get overly excited for a match that either you've seen a bunch of times before, you know, and now they're a lot older, or the story that you're looking for just isn't there. Whether or not this is a match that needs story, I guess we'll find out. You know, we'll see, because this show has largely been sold off of this match. You know, they're opening the show with it, but for all intents and purposes, this is the real main event, you know, of WrestlePalooza. When Joe Tessitore was on SportsCenter a few weeks ago and said the main event is John Cena against Brock Lesnar, it doesn't matter where it is on the card. You know, it is. It really is. That whole show, look at the posters. This whole show has really been built around this match. So, but of course, they are opening the show with it, so Lesnar can get back to Saskatchewan as quickly as possible. I guarantee you that Lesnar, that plane is going to touch down on the tarmac up in Saskatchewan. The main event will not even be in the ring yet. Cody and Drew will not even have made their entrances down to the ring, and Brock will be back home safe and sound in Saskatchewan. He is going to get out of there as quickly as humanly possible. Now, when they came back from the break, Corey Graves was still face down in the ring. Producers were checking on him. Michael Cole pointing out to them, I think he said, like, oh, his neck is starting to swell. I could have sworn that's what he said. Oh, look, his neck is starting to swell. He took two face bumps on the F5, but his neck is starting to swell. So they cut to the back. Brock is walking, and he stops in his tracks because he sees something. And he walks over, and the camera pans over, and what does he see? He sees his old friend and nemesis, Paul Heyman. Been a while since these two have come face-to-face. So they share a bit of a tense stare down here. And Heyman was not alone. He was had Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed with him. So they share a tense stare down for a moment before Lesnar tells him, "We should talk." And then he walks off. Very interesting. So then Nick Aldis, the general manager of SmackDown, he shows up. He warns the Vision, "Don't cause any more problems tonight. I don't know why you're here, but I have a contract signing later on with Cody and Drew. I don't want anything messed up." And Heyman assured, you know, he says, "Oh, we're looking for the Usos. Do you know where they are?" And Aldis says, "You know damn well that they're not here." And with that, Heyman and the Vision, they left saying, "We're simply here to enjoy the show." But that was a very interesting tease there between Lesnar and Heyman. My first thought when I see something like that, Brock is never going to learn. He's never going to learn. This man has turned on him twice in the past. Twice in 20 plus years. You would think he would learn his lesson that this man is not to be trusted, but evidently he doesn't seem to mind, and he's still willing to do business with Paul Heyman. What kind of business, though? You know, Lesnar and Heyman as a duo, it's just such a natural pairing. If they really did want to put them back together, and I'm not saying Brock has to join the Vision, but if you wanted to put Lesnar and Heyman back together, I'm okay with that. It's a natural pairing, as natural as Undertaker and Paul Bearer were pairing for so many years, right? They just go so well together. It just makes sense. But my other thought, of course, ties into what's coming up in a couple of months, which is Survivor Series. And the very likely probability that the Vision will be playing a role in the men's War Games match. Now, right now, there's only three members of the Vision, right? Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed. So they would need some help if it's 4-on-4, if it's 5-on-5. But if you assume that they're going to be on the heel side of a War Games match, and now we have Heyman and Lesnar teasing, oh, we need to talk, right? We need to have a conversation. A conversation about what? Is it possible that Paul Heyman will enlist the services of Brock Lesnar to be, you know, joining forces with the Vision in a War Games match? Absolutely, I think it's possible. And if so, I could see Lesnar and the Vision on one side, and maybe they need one more person, but you got that crew. And on the other side of the ring, you got John Cena, who's never been, as Brock, never been in a War Games match before. You can have John Cena, Roman Reigns, CM Punk, all on the same team. Or John Cena, Roman Reigns, and the Usos. Actually, you know what would be really cool? If they could figure out a way to work someone like Jacob Fatu into that equation. Again, he has been absent on SmackDown now for weeks and has been severely cooled off. Now, what I would like to see is if you're going to do something like that, work someone like him into the equation. Because you would have Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed on the other side, right? And Bron Breakker is someone who people look at as, oh, the future of WWE, right? Oh, he's going to headline multiple WrestleManias. Guess what? So can Jacob Fatu. He should be worked into that equation as well. How about a John Cena, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu team with one or two other people? Against Brock and the Vision. I could see that Vision. I could get behind that. That would be an interesting War Games match. So that I think is the first tease of what's to come. Because I don't know that we're looking at a full-blown reunion between Lesnar and Heyman. But if they're going to do business, what else would they be doing business for? If it's not tied into War Games in some way. So that'll be something very interesting to keep an eye on going forward. Let's move on here. Because back in the arena, Michael Cole returned to the announce desk. He was at a loss for words about what happened to his partner. He said that in the years that he's been on commentary, he never felt as helpless as he did tonight. Cole said, well, I mean, I don't know about that. I do recall a certain segment on this show many years ago where he was shoved up against the wall by one Heidenreich, where he looked kind of helpless, but you know, the less said about that, the better. He said that if that's what awaited John Cena tomorrow, he doesn't know if even Cena has the answers for Brock Lesnar. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss were up next. They were defending the women's tag team titles against Chelsea Green and Alba Fire. Still no sign of Piper Niven. So whatever is going on with Piper, she has been MIA for several weeks now. Chelsea took a shot at Alexa in the corner, ended up eating an elbow from Charlotte. Bliss tagged herself in. She went to work on Chelsea and Alba. The challengers ended up with the advantage heading into a commercial break. During the commercial break, The Miz came down to ringside to join Michael Cole on commentary and sit in for Corey Graves for the remainder of the show. So they returned from the break. Bliss was desperately reaching for the tag, trying to get that tag. She almost got it. Charlotte got pulled from the apron by Alba, which gave Chelsea a chance to continue her attack. Chelsea ended up missing a shoulder tackle. This allowed Bliss to finally get the hot tag to Charlotte. Charlotte teed off with chops on both women. She tried to set up for the figure eight. Green, though, provided a distraction and ate a big boot. Alba went for a roll-up, could not get the pin. And as Charlotte headed up top, Chelsea grabbed her leg, which allowed Alba to connect with the Swanton Bomb. Bliss broke up the pin. Bliss and Flair, they delivered stereo natural selections to Chelsea and Alba, and Charlotte got the pin on Chelsea to retain the tag team titles. Decent little defense here for the champs. They were also successful on the NXT Homecoming show this week. It was fine. Hopefully they can put their issues with the Secret Hervis in the rear view. The challenge now is, they have not established any other team as the obvious next in line challengers for Charlotte and Alexa. So the risk you run here is that if you really have not set anybody else up as the obvious challengers, and they don't have a story with somebody else kind of ready and waiting here, you could end up kind of stalling the momentum that they have as far as their characters go. I don't know who's next for them. I really don't. There isn't much of a division to speak of. And I do think the pairing has done wonders for Charlotte. But now you start getting into, okay, do they have enough challengers to work with? And the ones that come to mind would be the Kabuki Warriors. You know, you look to Raw, Asuka and Kairi, you know, would they be next in line? Who else? I mean, give me a better option here. Give me a better, especially on SmackDown. Give me a better option. I don't think there is one right now. In the back, B-Fab was trying to talk to Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, saying that if they want tag team gold, you need to get past your issues because the Street Profits, they've been a little rocky of late. Meechan comes over and says she and B-Fab need to go talk to Nick Aldis about their tag team match next week with Julia and Kiana James. Now, I don't remember if she said we have to go talk to him about the match with them or about getting a match with them. Getting a match with them, that would make more sense. Because my first thought was, if you have a match already with them, what the hell do you need to go off to talk to Nick Aldis for? What are we going to plan? We're going to go over the rules of the match. So I assume they were going to talk to him about getting a match against Julia and Kiana for next week. So B-Fab leaves the Street Profits alone to talk amongst themselves. Dawkins and Ford, they bury the hatchet. You know, they shake on it. Everything seems to be cool. Montez says, I'm going to go talk to Nick Aldis about getting us another shot at the tag team titles. Rinse, repeat. How many times are we going to do this? How many times are we going to go back to the Street Profits and the Wyatts? The Wyatts and the Street Profits. I mean, I know, you know, the Andrade departure, you know, kind of handicapped them in a way because it was very likely Andrade and Rey Fénix would at least be next in line. I don't know if they would have won the titles, but they were going to be next in line at Clash in Paris for a tag team championship match. Andrade being released ruined those plans. That's why they went back to the Street Profits. And so they're just continuing with the Street Profits. and what was a once very hot tag team division on Friday nights has stalled out. All the teams are still there. DIY, the Motor City Machine Guns, the Wyatts, the Street Profits, Los Garza, right? Pretty Deadly, not so much because Kit Wilson or was it Elton Prince? Elton Prince, maybe, has been hurt. All the teams are still there, but they have stalled out. Now it's just very cold. But he's going to go off to see if he could talk to Aldis about getting a title match. As soon as he leaves, Bo Dallas shows up behind Angelo Dawkins. And he says, Montez won't listen to him, but I will. So Montez immediately comes back over, very angry. He shoves Bo Dallas up against the wall. Dallas says that they're lost souls who need the right path. Eric Rowan shows up and whacks them with his hammer. And both Street Profits end up on the floor. I mean, is anybody excited about this? Be honest now. Be honest. There's nothing interesting. There's nothing exciting about this. They have stalled out in this tag team division. And they need to shake things back up again. I don't know. In the near term, I don't know how you do that. Obviously, they're going to play the story out with the Profits. It looked like maybe they were teasing a breakup, and now they're back on the same page. Is Bo Dallas going to get in Angelo Dawkins' head yet? And maybe there will be a split with the Profits. I mean, that, I guess, is the most interesting aspect of this. Will they or won't they? I have no expectation that they're going to win the tag team titles back. And again, I don't know who would be next in line, you know, for a shot at those titles. They haven't really built anybody else up as the obvious next challengers. If you're looking for a babyface team, I suppose if you're going to go with the heels, I hate to even say this, but you could always go with the MFTs. I mean, again, I don't even want to put that out in the atmosphere, but I'm just struggling here to see, like, as far as a fresh pair of challengers, you know, who would be next in line for the Wyatts, especially on the babyface side, that would be of any real interest. And I'm drawing a blank here. In the back, R-Truth was trying to tell people how to watch Wrestlepalooza on the ESPN app. It's confusing enough that they had to have R-Truth in two different segments on this show break it down. I mean, in like minute detail, where to go, what to click, what to push. If this is your carrier, if you have Verizon, if you have DirecTV, if you have, you know, like he was breaking it down, trying to explain to people, okay, here's how you can watch the show tomorrow. And so what he was doing here was explaining it to Los Garza, because apparently they're idiots and they have no idea how to order this show. And even if you don't have cable, he said, you can still watch the show. Now, of course, he never said that if you don't have cable and you don't have ESPN, you have to pay $30 to see the show. He neglected that. He didn't mention that. This was fucking lame. This was like, you know what? At least Truth got his job back. Good for him. But this was fucking lame. I mean, they didn't do themselves any favors on Monday and in the lead up to this by constantly saying, oh, we're going to ESPN, we're going to ESPN. So now you're going to have a bunch of people who think that it's actually airing on ESPN. It's not. It's not airing on ESPN. I've had people, you know, in the last week or so be like, is it on ESPN Plus? I'm like, no. No, it's not, actually. And evidently, like, if you go to ESPN Plus or ESPN.com, supposedly there's a link that will take you directly to where you need to go. But you could see why there would be some confusion about this. You know, it's actually technically ESPN Unlimited. That's the service. Within the app, that's the service that is airing Wrestlepalooza. But for weeks and weeks, oh, we're going to ESPN. We're going to air on ESPN. So what do you think most people are going to think? And even still, you're going to have fans who are going tomorrow, going to put on ESPN thinking they're going to see John Cena and Brock Lesnar at the top of the hour, and they're going to get some fucking football game. And they're going to be like, what the fuck? Where's the wrestling show? There's going to be some growing pains. I would actually love to know what the audience is going to be. I don't know if we're going to get those numbers. I would love to know what the actual audience ends up being for this show and how much they're impacted by just general confusion about how to get the show. And also keep in mind that there's a lot of people who will not have access to it unless they pay, because they still have not reached a deal with Comcast. They have not reached a deal with YouTube TV, which is what I use. So because they had to rush into this, this was not supposed to start until April, until WrestleMania, but they had to get a jump on it. Meanwhile, they never reached those, you know, the carriage agreements with some of the biggest services out there through which people get their television. And so until that's rectified, there's going to be people who are kind of left in the dark who may not want to pay the $30. And I don't see a deal happening with YouTube TV for, I'm sure at some point it'll happen, but it doesn't feel like anything is imminent, at least not until the end of the year. Anyway, you could avoid all of that. I'm telling you, you could avoid all of that by using your ExpressVPN and tuning it into Netflix, right? You just pick a Canadian server or UK or any of these places where the PLEs still air internationally on Netflix. It'll be the easiest way to go. Save yourself a lot of trouble or money. Well worth it. Fraxium, they were in the ring for the next match, but they were attacked by Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. So they clear the ring, and then Paul Heyman shows up to talk. I don't know, was it me, or did Heyman look like he lost a little bit of weight? I don't know. He was looking better than he was the last time we saw him. But yes, Paul Heyman is back, as we saw earlier in the show. This was his first appearance back on TV since Roman Reigns choked him out at, was it SummerSlam? It was SummerSlam, right? Wait, was Roman at Clash in Paris? I don't even remember now. It was SummerSlam, I think. I don't even remember. But remember, he had the throat contusion. That was his injury. Well, he's back now. Maybe it was the stripes that he was wearing. He had a striped suit on. Maybe it made him look a little more, a little slimmer. So anyway, he was out to talk. He says, Fraxium reminds him of the Usos, down and out. Then he speaks some Samoan to the Usos. And he translates for himself. As he's talking, Frazier and Axiom, they come flying. They're in opposite corners. And Breakker and Reed have no idea. And they come flying off the ropes. And they knock down Breakker and Reed, knock them out of the ring. They follow with their trademark rapid-fire suicide dives to the outside. That first suicide dive from Axiom, where he almost went crashing into the announce desk, was very scary. Nick Aldis shows up and he makes the predictable tag team match, and we head to a commercial break. You know, we never did find out who Axiom and Nathan Frazier were supposed to be wrestling. They came out for a fucking match. Against who? I don't know. We were never told. Maybe it was an open challenge and they were going to wait for somebody to come out. I guess we'll never know who they were supposed to wrestle. But after the break, it was Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed against Fraxium. This match was joined already in progress. Breakker was working over Axiom in the corner. Axiom momentarily fended him off. But he got thrown overhead instead with a backdrop. Breakker got a full head of speed. He turned Axiom inside out with a lariat. Reed entered the fray. He continued to pummel Axiom with a senton. Breakker got the tag once more. And he suplexed Axiom before pulling down the straps. He attempted a spear. He got met with a calf kick instead. This allowed Frazier to get the tag. Frazier had Reed staggered with a drop kick, and he soared from the top with a frog splash. Reed kicked out at two. He avoided a moonsault before dropping Frazier with his Death Valley driver. He's been finishing guys off with this move. He calls it the jagged edge. Only here, he didn't go for the pin. He hits the jagged edge. And he heads up top. He's going to go for a tsunami. And he gets stopped temporarily by Axiom. And then comes the finish. Reed shoves Axiom off the ropes. And as he comes off the rope, he shoves him off right into a spear from Bron Breakker. It was a fucking thing of beauty. So he spears this man dead. That was an awesome little sequence there. After Reed then came off the top with a tsunami splash to Nathan Frazier, and he got the pin to win it for the Vision. So that was a great finish. And honestly, Fraxium were great opponents for these two. They basically got crushed, But as far as, you know, two smaller guys to go in there, sell for their offense, and just make these two look like monsters, you know, Fraxian and bump their asses off. Fraxian was perfect. So after the ring announcer, Mark Nash announces Breaker and Reed as the winners, Paul Heyman cuts him off. And he says, I don't need John Cena's bitch to announce them as the winners. I'll do that myself. But then he was interrupted by the Usos, who were up on the Titantron. Jimmy and Jay were already at the Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, the site of WrestlePalooza. And they said they were going to lock things down. They welcomed the Vision to the Uso Penitentiary. They did their catchphrase. And that was the end of that. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. This is the perfect time for me to be talking about this because we just had the return of AJ Lee in WWE, and she was in the ring on Raw last week talking about how helpful therapy has been for her. They even had 10,000 people in the stands chanting, therapy, therapy. That's a first. I've never heard anything like that before, but therapy does deserve to be cheered because it can help you in so many different ways. And people may turn to some funny places for support, whether it's your barber, the cashier behind the counter, and a random stranger in the bathroom, but not everyone is a therapist. Instead, get guidance from a credentialed therapist online with BetterHelp. I'll do the same thing. I'll turn to friends sometimes for advice on how to solve those problems that life throws at you. But there's a difference between that and talking to a therapist. Therapists are clinically trained and credentialed, and they're far more equipped to help you tackle whatever may be troubling you and affecting your quality of life. BetterHelp has been helping people find the right match for over a decade and has a 4.9 rating out of 1.7 million client session reviews. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people across the globe. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so that you can focus on your therapy goals. You fill out a short questionnaire to help identify your needs and preferences, and from there, they match you with the right therapist. And if for any reason you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different one at any time and at no extra cost. It's also completely online, which makes it convenient, and you can pause your subscription whenever you need to. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Find the one with BetterHelp. Solid Monster listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Solid Monster. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solid Monster. Nia Jax made her way down to the ring, out for a promo. That sound that you hear? Tens of thousands of televisions turning to a different channel. Nia took a shot at the Toledo crowd. They were in Toledo, Ohio tonight. She said that she was sick of the SmackDown Women's Division, claiming that they were the alpha females, when she was the true alpha female of the division. Nia took credit for taking Tiffany Stratton out, which prevented her from showing up at the NXT Homecoming show this past Tuesday. Nia then took a shot at Jade Cargill and said, you know, if I could have her looks, I would love to look like Jade Cargill because she looks like a comic book character come to life, right? Jade Cargill looks like $1 million. But she says Jade wishes she had Nia's in-ring talent. That was great. That was great. So Nia said that she would annihilate any Storm or any Tiffy time, any damn time. This brought out the WWE Women's Champion, Tiffany Stratton, for a rebuttal. Stratton said that people have had enough of Nia Jax being in the women's division. It's not that I've had enough of Nia Jax being in the women's division. I've had enough of Nia Jax being, you know, involved in some sort of rivalry with Tiffany Stratton and challenging for the women's championship. That's what I'm sick of. And since Nia and Jade were committed to acting so delusional, Tiffany said that she was here to prove that she was the one true WWE champion. Stratton attempted to walk down to the ring. She was going to confront Nia. She got stopped by referees who ran out in front of her. Jade Cargill's music hits, and she makes her way out, and she decked some of the security geeks on her way to the ring. She blew right past Tiffany. She was on her way to the ring, getting up on the apron. She's going to confront Nia. Before she could get into the ring, Nick Aldis comes out. And he put a stop to things by threatening consequences if she continued to put her hands on people. And he announced that next week in Orlando on SmackDown. We're going to get a triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship. It'll be Tiffany Stratton defending her title against Jade and Nia Jax. So not WrestlePalooza. They're saving this match for TV next week. That match, let's talk about this. That match was originally scheduled for WrestlePalooza. Now, what happened is, if you watched the show last week, Tiffany and Jade, Tiffany did that moonsault out of the ring, and it looked like she smacked the back of her head badly on the floor outside. And when it happened, I thought to myself, that's a concussion right there. Now, it was never confirmed, but Tiffany was pulled from the NXT show this week. She was supposed to team up with Rhea Ripley and Stephanie Vaquer in the main event. She got pulled. Lyra Valkyria took her place. And it was said, some of the reports, that she was not medically cleared. I don't know if she was concussed and that's why she was out, or if there was the fear that she might have been concussed. But I'm almost sure it would have been as a result of what we saw with that moonsault where she over-rotated last week. So that's why she was not on NXT this week. But then I saw PW Insider earlier today reported that she's not injured. She is medically cleared. They just made a decision that they did not want to sort of overstack the show tomorrow. So they opted to hold off on the match for TV next week. Because this match was listed on the event t-shirt for WrestlePalooza. So it was originally scheduled for the PLE. But the idea that WWE didn't want to overstack the show tomorrow. Since when is six matches overstacking a show? 10 matches, 12 matches. We've seen some pay-per-views this year like that. That's overstacking the show. Going from 5 matches to 6 matches is not overstacking the show. Let's just be honest here. What they like to do on these shows is have these 25 to 30 minute breaks in between matches, right? We get these long breaks and a bunch of ads. And so they like keeping it to 5 matches so they can fit all their shit in between each of the matches. One match more would not have made that much of a difference, but it would have added another match to the show. And 6 matches on a show is not that much. That's actually, I think, the perfect number for these shows. They don't have to overload them. But the idea that, oh, if we add one more match, it's going to be overstacked. What sense does that make? Since when is 6 matches overstacking? Especially now, you're asking people, and look, some people will get it for free, but there's a lot of people out there who will not have access to the show unless they pay $30. $30 for a 5-match show? You can't give people the extra title match on that show? It's ridiculous. So they absolutely could have done this match tomorrow, but they made the decision not to, so they're going to save it for next week because, my God, 5 matches is just too much. We can't go beyond that. That's far too many matches. No, we need 30 minutes between each match. In the back, we got more shilling from R-Truth for the ESPN app. This time he was showing the Motor City Machine Guns and Ray Phoenix how to download and use the app. Yes, all the geeks who did not make the card tomorrow, all you losers who are going to be sitting at home watching the show, let me show you how. Since you're too stupid to realize on your own how to do it. So there's Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and Ray Phoenix is like, you know, he's fake scrolling on his phone. He's in the app store. And Killings is trying to explain to them, you go here, you go to stream.this, and you hit this button, and you do this, and you log in with your credentials, and really trying to hammer home, you know, how to get this show. Then we got some comedy at the very end of this. From Chris Sabin, who told Truth to watch the next season of the Great British Baking Championship. The Great British Baking Championship. He again, I should point out, R-Truth, neglected to mention that this is, for some people anyway, a $30 price tag on this show. He didn't mention that part. Sami Zayn was out next. Another U.S. title open challenge match. This time it was against Carmelo Hayes, who called his shot last week. He said, I got next. So we knew about this already going back to last week. Speaking of 25 minutes between matches, it had been 25 minutes since the previous match. Miz was on commentary, as I said, for the entire show here, and he was very excited for his boy Melo getting a title shot. on the apron early. Sammy looked like he was going for something big. Hayes stunned him with a guillotine leg drop as they went into a commercial. So the show came back. Hayes had the upper hand. Sammy fought back with a clothesline. He followed that up with an axe handle from the middle rope. Sammy dragged Hayes to the corner. He started teeing off on him with repeated punches to the face, much to the chagrin of Miz on commentary, who was pretty insufferable, I will say, during parts of this match. You know, he was rooting for Carmelo. He was getting into the near falls, but it was just awful to listen to. Zayn landed a tornado DDT, could not pick up the win with it. Zayn headed up top. Hayes recovered and avoided what he was going for. Melo, though, could not avoid a Michinoku driver, which got another near fall. Hayes caught Sammy on the button with a big knee to the face, and then he headed up top for a huge frog splash. But Sammy got his knees up at the very last second, which sent Hayes scurrying to the corner and right into the crosshairs of a Huluva kick. Hayes, though, intercepted Sammy with a super kick, and both men were down heading into another commercial break. So both men were down for a while. They pulled themselves back up. Hayes hits a La Mystica facebuster for two. They start trading strikes, and then Sammy hits a Liger Bomb for two of his own. Both men hit the ropes. We got a double clothesline spot. Both men were down. Hayes goes up top for a frog splash. This time he hits it, only for a near fall. Hayes tries a leaping code breaker, but Sammy holds on to him and blocks it. Blocks him from completing the move. Sammy then tries a blue thunder bomb. Hayes counters into the first 48 for a near fall. Hayes lifts Sammy up for a cutter, followed by a springboard neck breaker. Sammy managed to avoid nothing but net, and he turned that into a blue thunderbomb for the win. He won with the blue thunderbomb and retains the U.S. championship. A rare occasion where Sami Zayn actually wins a match with the blue thunderbomb, which is one of my favorite moves, and I would like to see that happen more often. He doesn't have to win every match with it. It's kind of like Bronson Reed. You know, he's been using the jagged edge on occasion now as like one of his new finishing moves. And that's fine. Like, you don't have to use the tsunami in every match. It's nice to have a little bit of variety in your you know, signature moves. Same thing here. Like, Sammy wins most of his matches with the Huluva kick, but every now and then, throw that blue thunderbomb out there and let him win with it. I love it. I'd love to see more of it. But this was another very good match here from the Sami Zayn Open Challenge. That's three in a row. He had a great match with John Cena. Shitty finish, but he had a great match with John Cena. He had an excellent match last week with Rey Fénix, which has been the best of the bunch so far. And then another very strong match here on this show with Carmelo Hayes, who looked good. It was a good outing for Hayes, even though he lost. The open challenges have truly become the highlight of this show. If there is anything must-see, and there's very little these days that is must-see about the weekly WWE shows, like next to nothing, if we're being honest. As far as SmackDown goes, this is the closest thing to must-see on this show every week. And it's been 3 weeks so far, but these matches are consistently the highlight of these shows. This has been tremendous so far. Now, Carmelo Hayes lost, right? He called his shot, and he lost. But he still has his story with The Miz that they have been playing up for weeks now, which is one of the more consistent stories on this show. One would assume it's leading to a split with him and Miz in the not-so-distant future. My guess is that Hayes ends up a babyface out of it. And the hope then is that, okay, when that split happens, and really whether he's a heel or a babyface coming out of it, once that split happens, do they have something lined up for Carmelo Hayes? Or is this all for nothing? You know, he had that best of seven series for the U.S. title last year with Andrade. And same thing there. That was the highlight of SmackDown, right? Consistently the best thing on the show every week. And neither one of them won the U.S. championship out of it in the end. But there was nothing lined up for them when it was over. It was like, okay, the series is over. And now it's like to the back burner with both of you. The key is having something set up for him coming out of this. You know, and the story with The Miz. I can only hope that that's the case. Do Triple H and Road Dogg have something in mind here? Something bigger, something greater in mind for Carmelo Hayes? I have my doubts. I'm skeptical. but I sure hope they do. It's got to be leading somewhere for him. He's been getting consistent television time. He was even on NXT this week, teaming with Trick Williams. He's on the show pretty much every week. He had this great match tonight. So this is all good. This is all positive momentum here. But, you know, excuse me if I'm skeptical of where this momentum ultimately is going to lead. You know, that's what I'm looking to the future and wondering, where does he fit in the pecking order here on this show? I'm looking at someone like Jacob Fatu, who has become MIA. He's wrestling dark matches and doing nothing on TV, and I'm left wondering why. The show is suffering on most weeks. You know, we need to see more of these people, not less. Kit Wilson, who has not been seen on TV in months, was backstage randomly talking to Nick Aldis about hypermasculinity. And at that moment, Damian Priest walks in. He's very hyper mad. He's very angry about what Aleister Black did to him last week. Wilson got upset at Priest's demands because he's demanding a match with Aleister Black. And Wilson gets upset about this. He's telling Aldis, this is the classic case of toxic masculinity. And so he ends up being thrown through a wall into the adjacent room. What shitty construction they have backstage at these WWE shows. If I'm Kit Wilson, I'm filing a lawsuit. Unsafe work environment. How thin are these walls? That you just throw the guy right through it. And Nick Aldis, I love it too. He pulls out his cell phone and doesn't waste a second. Like, he pulls out his cell phone and apparently it was already on. And he's like, I'm going to need medical. Tucks his phone away. Who's he talking to? I've always wondered, who is he talking to? One thing we know when it comes to Aldis and Adam Pearce on most weeks is that they don't really plan ahead for these shows. Many weeks we show up here, we watch these shows, matches are not made, they're made on the spot. Apparently there's no card. I don't know what these people do during the course of the week. I mean, that could be a whole reality series, like a vlog all by itself, like following the GMs throughout the week. I would love to know what they do. How do they plan for these shows? They don't do a very good job. Now, they aired, this they did a good job on this. They aired the second half of the retrospective for John Cena and Brock Lesnar. We got part one last week, which covered their early days in Ohio Valley Wrestling, their respective debuts on SmackDown in 2002, their Backlash title match in 2003. So this was part two. They covered Lesnar's return to the company in 2012, their Extreme Rules match, which I maintain to this day, Lesnar should not have lost. I mean, that finish, when I covered it at the time on the Sound, though, that finish pissed me off. Right up through their SummerSlam match in 2014, which was just a complete destruction, you know, just a total squash. So they covered all of that. And now we come to what should be their final match at WrestlePalooza tomorrow. Can it live up to the Extreme Rules match from 2012? That match was a spectacle in every sense of the word. I may not have liked the finish, but it was one of the best WWE matches of the entire year. It was just so unique, especially at that time. You just did not see matches like that in WWE. It just, and of course, the blood, him, you know, busting Cena open hard way. You just didn't see that shit back then. Then you look at their SummerSlam match in 2014, which was unique in a completely different way. You did not see a top star, the biggest star in the company, squashed in a pay-per-view main event that way. Each of those times, they found something to, you know, they found a way to do the match that made it feel unique. And I'm just wondering how they can do that tomorrow to differentiate it from all the previous matches that these two have had. What can they do maybe that they haven't done before? You know what would be shocking if Brock went in there and actually wrestled the way that he used to wrestle during his first run, where he knew more than just suplexes. But I feel like that version of Brock Lesnar died a long time ago. Also, don't forget, they were part of one of the best matches in 2015 in WWE, that triple threat match at the Royal Rumble with Seth Rollins, which was a tremendous match. So they've had some really good matches before. This is now 2025. You know, they're older. Obviously, Brock is still in great shape, but, you know, they're older. Cena is at the very end of his run. I mean, literally the final matches of his career here. But you saw the output from him last month with Cody at SummerSlam, with Logan Paul at Clash in Paris, with the right opponent, John Cena can go out there and can have a banger match. And I think he can do the same with Brock. I'm very curious to see how they structure this match. How long does the match go? Is it really in and out for Brock, 4 minutes? Are they going to have a 10 to 12 minute match, 15 minute match? I don't know. John Cena with the right opponent can still go out there and have a great match. At this stage of the game, is Brock the right opponent for him? I don't know. Won't have to wait very long since they're opening the show tomorrow. We got a Solo Sikoa vignette as he showed appreciation for Tonga Loa, who was the only member of the MFTs who was standing behind him here in this segment. Showing appreciation for the great Tonga Loa. Said that he's been showing loyalty to Solo since day one. He said that he owed it to Tonga Loa to be a champion, and that his loyalty would be rewarded as long as Tonga was part of his family tree. See? The great Tonga Loa, loyal to a fault. I would imagine that Tama Tonga should be back soon. I don't recall the nature of the injury that he sustained. It was many, many months ago. He could very well be on his way back soon. I haven't heard anything said about him. They closed the show with the contract signing with Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship match at WrestlePalooza. Nick Aldis was in the ring to first introduce McIntyre. Before he could speak, Cody's music hit and the champion came down to the ring. So Drew was sitting, Cody was standing, and Cody asked him, "Drew, do you know what happened on this day 15 years ago? We won the tag team championships. And do you know who was backstage talking about that? Nobody." He says, "The fans don't even know all the lore. Sometimes they just pay their money to see two guys fight." I guess that's how they're justifying the Cena-Lesnar match tomorrow. Says, he knows who Drew is. In the past, Drew has won a Royal Rumble. He's been a WWE champion. He slayed the Beast. He's 280 pounds. He's the Scottish Warrior. But lately, the Scottish Warrior has just been a keyboard warrior. So go ahead, pull your phone out. Let's go viral. Make a post on social media, get one over on me, because it's the last time you're going to get one over on me." And Drew did. He pulled his phone out. He tweeted something. He held his phone up, and they zoomed in on what he tweeted. And he tweeted, "Thank you, Cody." And Cody was a bit confused by this. And Drew said, "No, thank you, Cody." All he wanted was a shot at the WWE Championship without anybody getting involved, without anybody screwing him over. This guy still has PTSD from all the times he got fucked over by the Bloodline. But this is all he wanted. He wanted a title shot and a fair fight. Cody doesn't even think about himself anymore. He thinks about what's best for the company. He's the corporate champion. He kicked Cody's head. And by the way, this point here that he made is a very valid one. He says, "I kicked your head through the announce desk. I put you on the shelf for 5 weeks. You were gone." And Cody comes back, and instead of stomping him, he's out here to talk him to death. I have had this problem before with people when they do like an injury angle, and then the person comes back, and if they're not all fired up, ready to murder someone, it's like, what are we doing here? You're right. Cody is the champion. He's the guy. And he got injured. And he was put out for over a month. When he came back, yeah, I mean, that first time he did like a run-in. But he's coming out here. He's all smiles. Where's that sense of, you know what? You took 5 weeks away from me after I had just won my championship back. You put me on the shelf. I'm going to fuck you up. That's not the version of Cody Rhodes that we got tonight. We had Cody coming out here and cutting a proper promo. So that's a fair point that Drew was making here. So he says, they, being the fans, are going to turn on you because you're the flavor of the month. And then Cody is going to say, Drew was right. Cody said if Drew is wrong, his legacy then becomes the man who lost to Cody on their debut ESPN PLE for the WWE Undisputed Champion. I mean, let's talk about a mouthful here. He definitely went into corporate Cody mode here. oh, if you lose to me, you're going to be the guy who lost to me on the ESPN PLE debut for the undisputed WWE Championship presented by Netflix. Shut the fuck up, dude. I want Drew to win the title tomorrow. Fuck it. Put the title on Drew. Shake this shit up and just put the title on Drew. I think I've turned on Cody here in this promo. I think Drew was right. He's way too corporate for my liking. But with that, Cody signed the contract, and then Drew signed the contract, and then he delivered a Glasgow kiss to Cody. And Cody rolled out to the floor. McIntyre followed him, started kicking his ass. He was setting up for another Claymore through the announce desk. Cody was in the exact right position for him to do what he did to him all those weeks ago. And Drew hesitated. He was like, no. He had second thoughts about it. He said, I'm not going to kick your head through the table again. This match is happening tomorrow, and I'm taking that thing that means the most to you, the WWE Championship. And with that, Drew walked off. He said, I'm not going to screw it up for myself. As he's walking away, though, Cody comes flying out of the ring with a suicide dive. And the two of them brawled, and they had to be separated by officials. Drew, though, managed to break free. He delivered a running boot right to the face, and it was Cody on the ground, with Drew telling him to sleep with the title because it's the last time you're going to have it for a long time. And that's how the show went off the air. Pretty paint-by-number stuff here as far as contract signing segment is concerned. We just had a contract signing actually on Dynamite on Wednesday with Kyle Fletcher and Hangman Page. And again, two very similar segments here. This one, we had physicality that we didn't get in that one, but you know, we had these two segments within 48 hours of each other. I had to mention that. This is Cody's first title defense since winning the championship back at SummerSlam. It is hard for me to conceive of him losing the championship this early. I would be in favor of it, though. I think that if this match is closing the show, they better have something big planned. Right? Their first big ESPN PLE. They're not closing with Lesnar and Cena. Fine. Something has to happen here to really shake things up. This product can use a shakeup of some kind. And so I think, what could they do here that truly would be a shakeup, right? Or something that would catch people off guard? I think there are a lot of people who don't expect Cody to lose the championship. So him losing the championship would be one thing. But if he loses the championship, how does he lose the championship, right? He's not going to lose clean. Is that where Randy Orton comes into play? Or if Cody doesn't lose the championship, Randy Orton can still get involved. Randy Orton has beef with Drew. He may well have beef with Cody as well. Drew was the one a few weeks ago who I think was telling Randy about Cody not giving a shit about him. Maybe he talked it into his head. If Drew doesn't win the title, I don't see it as one and done, right? You got Crown Jewel coming up next month, but then I see that they're probably doing the champion versus champion matches. It was pointed out to me there was in the press release for Crown Jewel, the language in there indicates that they're going back to doing these champion versus champion, brand versus brand matches, which means we're probably looking at Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins at Crown Jewel. I can't imagine Drew wins the belt. We get Drew and Seth. So all signs point to Cody keeping the title. But the question is, what's the big angle? What's the big, maybe shocking twist if we get one at the end of this show? And to me, it would be a Randy Orton heel turn. You know, people talking about The Rock is going to, you know, he's going to take Drew's soul. I don't want to hear about this shit. Fuck that. Fuck The Rock. I don't care about that. We've been down this road before. Enough with The Rock. The Rock has a movie coming out in a few weeks. He's going to try to win an Oscar. He doesn't give a shit about this. Randy Orton being involved in some way makes sense. Randy Orton going heel. Easily could see that happening, and that would be a big shocking, maybe not so shocking, but it would be a big twist there that they could do at the end of the show. That's what I keep coming back to as far as what realistically could they do if they were going to shoot some big angle at the end of the show. That would be it. I mean, look, you can't rule out something like Rock just because it is the big ESPN debut and maybe they want to make a big splash. But again, he's got other shit going on. People forget about that. You know, I don't want to see him or someone else make a one-time appearance just for the sake of making an appearance unless there's a real story to be told there. So, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to hear about that. Focus on the here and now and who you have available and coming up with a compelling story that can then take you into television next week and take you on into Crown Jewel. I don't like this whole champion versus champion shit they do. To me, it's just like going back to the Survivor Series format from years ago when they did brand warfare. You know, and that got old. Didn't mean anything. But if that's what they're going to do, then to me, that gives away the finish here because I just don't see Cody losing that championship. I just don't see it. Should be a good match, though. But they better have more than just a good match if they're going to close the show with it. They have to have something, some big hook to take you into TV next week for this show. And this being their big debut on ESPN, I'm sure they got something planned, whether it's for this match or something else on the show, but it would seem to point to something happening at the end of this match. We'll find out what that is. But the WrestlePalooza card is still a five-match card. Here's what it looks like. Brock Lesnar against John Cena. We have AJ Lee and CM Punk taking on Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. We have Jimmy and Jay back together, the Usos taking on Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. We have the Women's World Championship to be decided. We are guaranteed to have a new champion on this show. It will either be Io Sky or Stephanie Vaquer. And if we're being honest, we win either way. Stephanie would be a great champion. Io would be a great champion. I think it's premature to put that title on Stephanie. I would go with Io. I'm sticking with Io for the win. And then Cody and Drew for the WWE Championship in the main event. Those are your five matches on WrestlePalooza. And yes, I will be covering WrestlePalooza live. I'll be watching All Out until WrestlePalooza starts, and then we'll transition over to that. Live on YouTube tomorrow night for WrestlePalooza. And then the sound off on Sunday, I will include my All Out review in the podcast, episode 930. So that is the plan for this weekend. So just be aware. Let's head over to Twitter. What did you think? The cesspool, that is Twitter. What did you think of the final SmackDown before WrestlePalooza? 36.2% thumbs up, 34.6% thumbs in the middle, and 29.3% thumbs down. That's almost a dead heat. Look at that. Look at that thumbs up and thumbs in the middle. Very divided opinion on this show here tonight. Let's get into your super chats. We are 6 out of 10 on the goal. Where are we on the likes? 420. All right. So we're guaranteed at least one round to be the booker. If we get that goal in the chat, we'll do a double round, but we're guaranteed at least one, so that's good. It's more than I could say for Wednesday night. My oh my, how cold it has gotten. It's gotten a little chilly on Wednesdays, to say the least, the last few weeks. I don't know what else to say about that. But it's going to be a big weekend of wrestling, very busy, so I appreciate all the support. Going to be a very tiring weekend, but hopefully it'll be a fun one. Be a good chance for me to take my mind off life for a few hours. Let's start with Victor. Victor with $1.99. What WWE wrestlers have the best rogues galleries? I don't follow. What are you asking me? Victor, I love you, but you're going to have to specify. He says also, how would you rank every decade of WWE creative? I don't know. I mean, as far as ranking them, I grew up on the golden era, and the stories back then were a lot simpler. But some of the best stories, when you look at the Mega Power storyline, some of the best stories came from that era. You know, it came from the 80s. 80s into the early 90s. There was a lot of good stuff in the 90s as well. So I'm partial to that. I'm certainly not putting the 2010s anywhere near the top of that list. That I'm not doing. So I don't know how they all rank, but I will tell you that I will lean towards the 80s and 90s period over the more recent ones. I know people talk about this being, this is the cinema era, right? Cinema. And they had the Bloodline story, and the Bloodline story for a while there was quite great. But when you get beyond the Bloodline stuff, and I try to think of like some of the greatest stories, the greatest creative stories of the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, it's kind of light, you know? Group of villains. I see. Best rivals or villains is what... Well, I mean, John Cena's had a pretty good he's had a pretty good group of villains, I think, that he's worked with over the years, right? From Edge to Punk to Lesnar. Does that count? Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. The unofficial end of summer is here. No more swimming pools, no more barbecues, which is good, actually, because I was eating way too many burgers and hot dogs. This is where Factor Meals comes in good in the clutch, because I can eat smarter and have delicious chef-prepared meals shipped right to my door. And with more than 65 weekly meals made for how I live and what I like to eat, I've got even more ways to eat well and do so in a way that fits right into my schedule. Now you can enjoy a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp, at no extra cost. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly meals and new Mediterranean options packed with protein and fats that are actually good for you. And for the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. It's never a bad thing to expand your palate. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. I've eaten many Factor meals myself. The sesame teriyaki filet mignon is still my favorite, but they've all been enjoyable. If you take a peek at the menu for some of their upcoming meals, you'll see what I mean. Roasted garlic chicken, the roasted garlic butter salmon is there if you're looking for something that's keto-friendly. Maybe you want something a little more carb-conscious, you might go with the honey mustard pork chop. These are not TV dinners that you heat up when you have nothing better to make. These are delicious, dietitian-designed meals that arrive ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes. Factor takes care of the hard part. Let them take care of it for you, too, with this exclusive offer for Sala Monster listeners. Eat smart at factormeals.com/SalaMonster50off and use code SalaMonster50off to get 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code SalaMonster50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Sidro says, I guess Brock sent Corey to his graves. Oh my God, yes he did. Sidro with the jokes. He sent Corey to his graves. Terrible Dried Chicken says, spoiler, Brock Lesnar wins. Flawless victory. Fatality on John Cena. Holiday 197 with Cody versus Drew as the main event for the pay-per-view. Could this mean that Drew wins the title tomorrow, or perhaps Drew could win it at Crown Jewel? I think they'll do a couple of matches between them. They should do a couple of matches. But the belief is that they're doing the champion against champion nonsense at Crown Jewel. So that doesn't seem very likely. Dry Chicken says, I can't wait to watch AEW Tailgate Brawl before All Out. I'm excited for that 8-tag tornado match with the women. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not. We get so many multi-person matches, it's just ludicrous. It really is. Does this mean Corey can wrestle? Yes, Corey has been medically cleared for a few years now. It's like, there were people who didn't think Nigel McGuinness was medically cleared, but he was medically cleared for years until one day, you know, he was able to get back in the ring. So, who's to say that Corey Graves doesn't get back in the ring for a match one day? I mean, at one point, I thought they were building to a like an announcer match where we were going to get Corey against Pat McAfee, and then it never happened. So, yes, if Corey wanted to wrestle, he could wrestle. Boots with the $15. What's going on, Boots? It may be the Friday night booze talking, but I think the GWO needs a super secret handshake like the Street Profits. Just no backflips. That's all I ask. We in the chat can workshop this later. I'm going to leave that to you. I'm going to make Boots the leader on that, and you can work it out. You come up with whatever secret handshake you want. That's fine with me. Exclusively for our channel members. Holiday says, I would like to see Rey Mysterio face John Cena in a match on Raw and win to avenge his WWE title loss in 2011. Rey held the title for 2 hours before dropping it to Cena on a Raw episode. Oh, I remember. And I would not hold my breath waiting for that match because it ain't going to happen. The Real CS with the $9.99. Michael Cole is literally the worst broadcast part. He said broad partner. I thought that said he's the worst broad. Michael Cole is just the worst broad in history. This is the second time that his partner, I think he says this year, his partner had to save him and got their ass kicked for it. Oh, right, McAfee, that's right. Well, that was last year. I don't want to be his partner. That's right, Pat McAfee got killed by Gunther. Prince Vegeta. I've got an idea in mind for the Lesnar-Cena finish tomorrow. Cena's got Brock backed into the corner, and Brock asks, for England, John? And Cena says, no, for me. And a giant satellite falls on Brock. What movie did I not see? I'm sure that's a movie reference. What movie did I not see that I'm not getting here with this reference? Giant satellite falls on Brock. I mean, that sounds like a Final Destination movie to me. MacTub, why isn't Rock ranked with Hogan Austin despite his unmatched 99-01 peak and adaptability across four decades? Because he didn't usher in an era like those two guys did. That's why. I mean, some people might list him. He's certainly in that conversation, but he is not the face of an era. He didn't usher in an era in the way that those two men did. That's the biggest difference. And Rock has had more longevity than Austin did. Neither one of them had the longevity that Hogan did, but that's the biggest difference. He says also Rock 17-18 against HBK 25-26. Better WrestleMania run. I think I got to go Rock on that. And I would say Rock just because of the variety there. You know, with Shawn, he had those great matches with Undertaker. 25 was better than 26, but it was the same guy. Rock did it with two different opponents, two very different opponents, who just so happened to be two of the biggest names in the history of the business, and he beat them both. Rock is the only person in history who can say that he has beaten John Cena, Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, which is pretty impressive. But Rock had that excellent match with Austin at 17. Some say it's the best WrestleMania main event of all time. And then 18 was just a total five-star affair with Hogan. I got to go Rock 17-18. WWE Wrestling and Gaming, who wins the Cena-Brock match? Brock. I just feel like Brock's going to win. Sidro. What did the urologist say to the student who got accepted into urology school? You're in. My God. And biologists crossed a watermelon with cauliflower. People who eat the new variety get a sense of sadness known as melancholy. Okay, that's awful. You should have quit with the urologist joke, man. That one is unmatched. WWE wrestling and gaming, what's Cena's greatest attribute slash strength? His greatest attribute. He was the perfect corporate champion for Vince for many years. He is the perfect like embodiment, I think, of what they look for in a champion, in a franchise player. He's, you know, for so many years, he was the quarterback of that company. And I think his greatest attribute and strength in terms of WWE is that they could trust him, that he was never going to embarrass the company. He was never going to get them in trouble. He was always going to, you know, stay out of trouble. They could rely on him, I think, in ways that maybe they felt like they couldn't with certain other top stars over the years. And he was just the perfect embodiment of everything they look for in a champion. That's why he was on top for so long. That's why they loved him so much. That's why they call him the GOAT on commentary every week. So more than his actual physical strength or anything else, his promo ability, to me, that's his greatest attribute that kept him on top for so long. Let's see here. We got Sidro. There he is. Sidro with 14 months of membership. And by the way, Noel Mulligan, new channel member, welcome. We got a bunch of new Legends tier members, too, who are checking out that retro audio. So I hope you guys enjoy it. That stuff has not been heard since it originally aired. I mean, we're talking about early shit from like 2007, 2008. So it's kind of fun for me to go back and listen to some of that stuff. I just cringe at some of it because I just sounded so different. But the SE Scoops live show that I put up tonight from that week before WrestleMania 24 is a nice trip down memory lane. But Sidro says, wife warned me not to steal kitchen utensils, but it's a whisk I'm willing to take. Oh my God. It's a whisk he's willing to take. And what do you call a cockpit when the pilots are women? I don't know, because it disappeared on me. Hold on a second here. There we go. What do you call a cockpit where the pilots are women? The box office. Very good. Very good. Daddy Ugarte says, WNBC voice. WNBC. You gotta say it right. WNBC. MacTub, did you know Kevin Nash explained why Triple H beat Punk? He said Punk's promos before Night of Champions severely offended him. Yeah, he beat Punk because, you know, he was... Look, we know why he beat Punk. I don't need Kevin Nash to tell me why he beat Punk. It was obvious in 2011 why it happened. Angel Alaga with the 10 months of membership says, my thoughts and prayers are with you, Solid Monster. I appreciate that. Still a tough situation with my aunt. She's still in the hospital, but hopefully next week is a better week. And then Angel with the $150 super bomb. Angel, you are very much, you're like an angel from heaven here on the stream. Thank you, my friend. Hopefully you can join for WrestlePalooza tomorrow. Or as Cody said last week, WrestlePalooza. I don't think Cody will be a WrestlePalooza tomorrow. I think he's getting the win. But Angel, thank you. The Moldy Cheeseburger. It has been 16 years since Hayde Vanson made his cryptic vignette on SmackDown. It's 2025. He still hasn't made his debut. When is he going to show up? He will come when Veer does. He will come when Veer does. Sidro, I got a new stick deodorant today. The instructions said, remove cap and push up bottom. I can barely walk, but when I fart, the room smells lovely. What am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you, huh? Not Hugh Morris. Calling it now, Brock is murdering Cena post-match, but Jacob Fatu comes in for a face-off with Lesnar. Any way to incorporate Jacob Fatu into the mix is the correct move. That's why I mentioned war games. They could all be involved in a war game scenario. I think that that would be great. I think that that would be great if they can get Jacob involved in that. Then you build to maybe a Lesnar-Fatu match. I think that would be tremendous. Base Beerus says, is the devil's kiss even allowed in Saudi Arabia? Probably not. It's a lot of things they won't be able to do over there in terms of just the attire. That's why I'm very curious to see what this Women's Royal Rumble looks like in January. Duff's Vids, what search engine does Mario use? Yahoo! Thank you, Duffs. Base Beerus says, five matches at Palooza is like five bands at Woodstock. Yeah, but yeah, you would have the five bands at Woodstock, but you would have like 30 minutes between each set. So they can plug various things. That would be the WWE version of Woodstock. Hosted by Michael Cole. Sidro, had my feet amputated and my boss fired me. He's lactose intolerant.
You suck.
What do you fish for at baptisms? Holy mackerels. P.S. Thanks for your donation, Solo. Well, you're very welcome. I know it's been a very tough week for Sidro. Sidro lost his mom. And as I said on the stream the other day, I don't know if Sidro was with us, but we're all thinking about you. You're a part of the family. And here's to better days. Here's to better days. Duff's Vids, what did the blanket say when it fell off the bed? Oh, sheet. Oh, sheet. Paul Carpenter. Motor City Machine Guns versus Fraxium was on main event for Clash at Paris and was a 5-star, in my opinion. Please check it out. Was on main event for Clash in Paris? What does that mean? They taped the match at Clash in Paris and it aired on main event? I didn't hear about this. Why was it on main event then and not one of the main shows? Duff's Vids, the seven dwarves were sitting in a hot tub until Doc started feeling sleepy. So Sleepy got out. Thank you, Duffs. Who were the seven dwarves? Doc, Sleepy, Dopey, Bashful. I forgot the other ones. I only know four of the seven dwarves. Sleepy. Was Dumpy one? Or did I just make that up? I think Dumpy was one, right? Dumpy Dwarf? If not, it should be. Grumpy. Yeah, I know a few people like that. I know a few podcasters like that. All right, let's see here. What do we got here? We got Sidro. What do you call an alligator who's a renegade? A Gatorade. Of course. That just makes so much sense. Happy, grumpy, dopey, sneezy. I think Dumpy should be one. I'm sorry. We should kill one of the existing seven dwarves and replace them with Dumpy. I'm starting the campaign for it. We need Dumpy Dwarf. Noel Mulligan. Hi, Solomonster. I was thinking a wrestling event would do well in my city, Cork. Super Value Park can hold 45,000. And I'll bet you there are a lot of wrestling fans there, too, who would love to go to a wrestling show like that. So I think that would be cool. Duff's Vids, when I was young, I had two kidneys. Now I have adult knees. Oh,
you suck.
Oh, man. Prince Vegeta says Drew should be in the spot that Seth is in. So Drew should be leading the vision? He's got way more aura than he does. Please give Drew another world title run, Papa Trips. All right, let's not call him Papa. It's a little weird. Duff's Vids, what is it called when you carve a pumpkin in September? Premature ejack-o'-lantern. Not bad. Not bad. It reminds me, actually, we're, what, 2 weeks away? I get to start doing the Halloween designs here on the channel all month long. I love October. It's my favorite month. It might be my favorite month for another reason, too. Someone might have a birthday coming up in a few weeks, but that's just a rumor. Actually, when does my birthday fall? My birthday falls on a Monday. How about that? I'll get to be live with all of you on a Monday night for my birthday this year. We have Duff's Vids. My girlfriend came up to me and said, what starts with F and ends in K? I said, no, it doesn't. It's not even close. I like that one. That's right. October is when the Sala Monster comes alive. That's right. He comes alive and he'll come again. In the month of October. Sidra, brother and I both have diarrhea. Guess it runs in the family. Were you the one who had the joke? Might have been on TNT. And I fucking lost it. Where, what was, it was, the name for the perfect diarrhea medication would be gonorrhea. And I fucking lost it. Because it actually makes a lot of sense, right? If you were going to have a medication that you would take to stop diarrhea, it would be called gonorrhea. That's just perfect. It just makes so much sense. It was Sidra. Of course it was you. Of course it was. Is it true that they finally arrested Rajah Jackson? Yes, and he's already out. $50,000 bond. He's already been bonded out. It's pathetic. And he says, a guy starts a job at the nut factory. He says, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. Thank you, Sidra. Be taking some gonorrhea tonight. Duff's Vids, I was going to make a joke about retirement, but it doesn't work. That don't work for him, brother. Anobi, sad to see R-Truth shamelessly being a kiosk salesperson for the ESPN app tonight. Also, there's a PLE match. PLE match limit now. Yeah, apparently. Apparently there's a match limit now that Paul Levesque has placed upon these PLEs. You're not allowed to go past 5 unless it's like a major show. Then you get 6. Bobby Means, the only way humanly possible Vicar wins is if Asuka costs Io, but I just don't see it. Plus, what version of HBK is your favorite? My favorite version of HBK is... I mean, I just... Yeah, hard to argue against the in-ring output that he had in the late 90s. The stuff he was doing in the mid to late 90s is just untouchable. He had great stuff in the second half of his career, too, but you can't beat that mid to late 90s HBK, even with all of his faults. We got Boots. First time watching a CMLL show. The refs need to show a little more hustle with their counts. Yes, CMLL, the anniversary zone, is ongoing as we speak. I think it's actually being offered on Triller, I think, in English and Spanish as a pay-per-view. But tonight is the big match with MJF defending his CMLL light heavyweight championship against Mystico. And then MJF and whoever else is on the show, Hechicero, and all these people are going to head on the red eye to make their way over to Toronto for All Out, which is an earlier start time. That's a 3 p.m. start time, Eastern time tomorrow. So they're going to go right from, where are they, Mexico City? They're going to go right from Mexico up to Toronto as quickly as possible. And look at that. We hit the goal, too. We hit double Be the Booker. Look at that.
Holy shit.
We have done it. 10 out of 10. That means a double Be the Booker tonight. That makes up for the lack of Be the Booker on Wednesday. Thanks, Dynamite. Cripple Punk 91. I just want to say thanks for streaming and thanks to those making jokes. There you go. You got a very kind thank you there from Cripple Punk to Duff's Vids and Sidro and everyone else putting a smile on his face tonight. It's very kind of him. Thank you, Cripple Punk. Boots says this referee is a little too doughy. A little doughy to be a ref? I didn't know referees had to meet certain criteria for their physique. A little too doughy, you say. Sidro says, Dynamite. It feels that way the last several weeks. It's been like a ghost town. It's actually rather depressing. But it's okay, because then on Mondays and Fridays it picks back up. Not much I can do. That's the sad state of things when it comes to Wednesdays. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do double Be the Booker right now. That's what we're going to do. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Solo will start reviewing NXT on Tuesdays and ditch Wednesdays. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm a little busy on Tuesdays, but honestly, even if I wasn't, as bad as things have gotten with Dynamite, it would be worse with NXT. Because on those rare occasions in the past where I've reviewed NXT, like, nobody gives a shit. They could talk about how much they think it's a great show and everything, but like, nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. That would be worse. That would be even worse than Dynamite. Trust me. All right. Be the Booker. Be the Booker. And then I promise you we'll get back to the other Super Chats. I haven't forgotten about you. Get them on in. We still have we have more to come, but we have to get to Be the Booker. We must begin Be the Booker. And we are going to begin with Father and Son. We have Sting and we have Darby Allin. Sting and Darby, the former AEW Tag Team Champions. And they are going to be taking on Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Yeah. Love seeing Tyler Breeze, though, back in the old gimmick on NXT this week. That was cool. Fans didn't seem to give a shit, which was kind of sad, but Breezango was never a favorite of mine. It just wasn't. On the women's side, we have Hikaru Shida, the former AEW Women's World Champion. Where's Shida been? Haven't seen her in a while. She's having visa issues. Hikaru Shida going to go one-on-one with Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. Stephanie was very easy on the eyes back then, but as far as her in-ring skills, I think we could come up with better opponents for Hikaru Shida. We're headed for a reverse sweep here. This is not what I was hoping for. Main event, we have him. It is Carmelo Hayes, the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. See? Him and Dre. My God, there's Miz behind him. How long has this story been going on for with him and Miz? How long has it been going on for, this partnership? All right, Carmelo Hayes. He was on the show tonight in the U.S. Title Open Challenge. Now he's in the main event. Against Sting. Against not just Sting, but it's Surfer Sting. Carmelo Hayes and Surfer Sting would actually be a hell of a match. Well, we got saved. We got saved from the reverse sweep. So that's good. Watch, we get Sammy. Yeah, that would have been something if we would have landed on Sammy. Okay, so you guys unlocked round number two. We haven't had a double be the booker in a few weeks, so this is good. We get to try again, but this time with stipulations. All right, so here we go. Uh-oh, we got a brawl for all match. Someone's getting injured. We got to do a brawl for all. This is going to end poorly. Depending on who we get, this is going to be very interesting, actually. In this brawl for all, we have Sammy Guevara, who has picked a fight or two backstage in his day in AEW. Sammy Guevara in a brawl for all match. Let's see who gets to beat the shit out of Sammy Guevara here in this brawl for all. We have Sammy Guevara and Papa Shango. Papa fucking Shango in a brawl for all match. Everything about this is just wrong. Papa Shango against Sammy Guevara, then you turn it into a brawl for all. Everything about this is just completely fucked. Although I'm going with Papa Shango, just for the record, I'm going with Papa Shango in that match. Sammy doesn't stand a chance. All right, our next stipulation match is going to be a stretcher match. A stretcher match with the ladies. Papa Shango was in the wrong era. You know, there were plans drawn up for Papa Shango to return in 1997. And they abandoned those plans. They ended up bringing him back as Kama Mustafa. But I do wonder how that would have worked. I think if you were to tweak elements of the Papa Shango character, so like you don't have him putting curses on people and throwing up, you know, pea soup. But I do think it's a pretty cool character that could have worked in that late 90s era with some tweaks. All right, a stretcher match with Mia Yim on one side. Sidro says a stretch her match with the ladies. Pause. Yes, this is a stretch her match with Mia Yim and Willow Nightingale. I do love Willow. I'll give it the bell. Right, Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine. Remember when he debuted, I said, oh man, I can't wait until they debut, period. All right. We got one more match, and it's going to be Sala Monster's Choice for the stipulation. Sala Monster's Choice. I guess this is what, a tag team match? Or should we just book another men's match? I don't know. What stipulation do I want? What stipulation do I want? That's a really good question. How about we do the big blue cage? I like the big blue cage. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to do the men. That's what we're going to do. Big blue cage. I'm making an executive decision and booking another men's match here in the main event. And inside the big blue cage, what is this? That's the pain maker. It's causing me some pain right now. The pain maker. Chris Jericho. Look at this. Look at this. Look at those muscles. Flexing those biceps. Look at this. This is what WWE could get back in a matter of months. They may get the pain maker, everybody. Oh. It's just the pain maker against the Undertaker in the big blue cage. Purple glove Undertaker. I don't know. Anyway, those are your two rounds of Be the Booker. Maker versus Taker. See, I like that. Let's get back to these super chats. We still got a bunch more to get through here. We have, let's see here, Jeremy Rose. Any chance that AJ loses tomorrow? Seth Stomp. I assume you mean Seth Stomp, not Seth Stomp. That's possible, but no. AJ's winning it for her team. AJ Lee is going to pin Becky Lynch to win. That's my prediction. I don't think AJ Lee is returning for her first match in 10 years and losing. But it also then sets her up for a match for the Intercontinental title if she pins Becky. Although I do wonder, if they're going to do that crown jewel format, we didn't have two mid-card women's titles last year. Now we do. Does that mean we would get Becky Lynch against Julia? I don't know. Richie says, if The Rock has two matches left on him and that's all, I want to see who would his opponent be. If he only had two matches left, it would be Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. That's it. Paul Carpenter says, I'm going to need that VPN info, Solo. Well, all you got to do, go into the description of this video where it says support my sponsors. The link is right there. So use that link, expressvpn.com/Solomonster, and sign up. When you got to pay for it. You got to pay for the year, I believe. But it's worth it. It's what I did. And when you use that link, you get 4 extra months free. I'm using the VPN now more than ever before. So it's totally worth it. Lavelle, you see WrestlePalooza being better than All Out. I think it could be. I think from an in-ring perspective, All Out also has so many more matches. All Out may end up being the stronger show as far as, you know, the matches themselves. But could WrestlePalooza turn out to kind of steal the weekend depending on what happens? You get a couple of bangers and then maybe a big angle that they shoot. And that could make it a better show. So I can't really sit here and tell you that, you know, I think one show is going to be much better than the other. I'm looking forward to seeing which show, frankly, kind of steals the weekend. But it's hard, you know, when you have one show that has literally double or more than double the number of matches of the other show. It would take a super strong show tomorrow to, I think, be better than the output we're going to get from All Out. I'll just say that. Jeremy says Graves injury clearly, so McAfee returns tomorrow. Yeah, but we already knew that, though. But I guess in terms of the of kayfabe, that's how they could explain it. That would make sense. Hey, Solo, Mariah or Blake? Mariah. Richie says, if The Rock... I already read that one. Broly says, SmackDown is in Orlando next week. Give me Javon and Sammy. They had an interaction on the show just this past week. Sammy was in the back with him. He put him over. Could very well happen. Boots. So, La Yesca took out Demonito with a tope at Worlds Collide. Mr. Sacco probably hates these young hand puppets taking unnecessary risks for cheap pops. Well, we don't talk about Mr. Sacco. Mr. Sacco, as far as I know, last I heard, Mr. Sacco was still in a rehab facility. He fell off the wagon again. He was doing some... He was doing the hard stuff. He was doing the hard stuff. I mean, like, seriously, like wrapping the tube around his arm. It was bad. So all the best to Mr. Sacco. He's going through some shit right now. He's in rehab. But yeah, they found him. He had track marks all over his arm. It was bad. Boots says this CMLL crowd is loud. They were loud when Dynamite was at Arena Mexico a few months ago for Grand Slam. Those fans down there are great. He also says some of these CMLL theme entrances are bangers. Beats Def Rebel, doesn't it? Cripple Punk. Again, thank you for the $5 super chat. Power Spying Game. Solo, you once gave Stephanie and Sheeta a bell. Well, it might have been a different Stephanie. I think I had more than one Stephanie in there. Tonight, I was feeling a little bit different. I was not feeling as generous as I was that night. Stephanie and Sheeta is not a bell. Maze the Great, 50 months of channel membership. Not 15, 50 months of membership. As of now, I am a 28-year-old man. Everybody always be thankful for another year on Earth. That's great advice. And Maze, I wish you a very happy birthday. Here's to many more. Always be thankful for your health. Health is wealth. Without it, you have nothing. So here's to many more years of great health and success. Lost Dill. Just tuning in, and the lost episode you posted is my birthday. Keeping you in my prayers, Solo and Sidro. Thank you, Lost Dill. March 24th is his birthday. Yes, March 24th, 2008. That's where that lost episode is from that I posted earlier this evening. SE Scoops Live. We did about 34 of those episodes between 2008 and 2012. It was myself and my good buddy Noah the Mark. And the first two episodes of SE Scoops Live are up as well. So go check that out. There is Yukio Rules with the 50. Thanks for keeping up with all the wrestling stuff, as I don't always have time to watch everything. You're the best. Thank you, Yukio. I watch so you don't have to. That's what I always say. Or if you can't. You want to, but you can't. Yukio, that means a lot. Thank you very much. Dry Chicken says Drew McIntyre said he wants Cody Bottoms. Spoiler, Cody Rhodes passes gas in Drew's face. He said he wants Cody Bottoms? What? Back when Solo was 12? I was not 12. I only sounded like I was 12. Some say I still look like I'm 12. Chris Manson celebrating 52 months of membership. Do you think Jericho is gone from AEW? I do. I think when his contract is up, he's out of there. And Terrible Dry Chicken. Imagine telling Brock Lesnar his song is being deaf-rebelled to his face. I pray for that poor soul. Well, that will never happen because they will never do that. Can you imagine Brock Lesnar getting the deaf-rebel treatment? What would they put at the beginning of his song? Beast. Is that how his song would begin?
Beast.
That just goes into some shitty generic music. Oh, man, that will never, ever happen. Well, thank you, guys. We just hit the two-hour mark. We covered SmackDown tonight, all the ins and outs, the good, the bad. It was a decent go-home show, but again, without the U.S. title open challenges, man, these shows would be in real trouble. Because right now, that is the thing that is really carrying these shows. But tomorrow is WrestlePalooza. I will be live on YouTube at the end of that show. So that is what we will be talking about tomorrow. I will be watching All Out and tweeting along during the show, but I'm going to save my review for the sound off on Sunday. So that is the way the schedule is shaping up for this weekend. And then back with you live for the Raw post show on Monday night. So that is the plan. Leopoldo says, when is your birthday? Mine is October 28th. Mine is October 6th. I share a birthday with two notables in wrestling history. I actually share a birthday with Bruno Sammartino and Dixie Carter. You find two more polar opposites. Bruno Sammartino, Dixie Carter, and the Solid Monster. What a trio. But it's coming up. And yes, if you're not on your VPN, get your VPN. I got one for you. Trust me, it's going to make your life a lot easier. I'll be VPNing and Netflixing my WrestlePalooza tomorrow. And let you know how it goes. But yes, be aware that this is the first PLE that is not on Peacock. 7 Eastern is when WrestlePalooza starts. 3 p.m. Eastern for All Out. It's going to be a busy day of wrestling tomorrow. What a faction, yes. What a birthday lineup. I know. Hey, Bruno. Me and Bruno. That's pretty cool, right? I think that's pretty good company to be in. Only a few weeks away. I hope you guys are going to hang out with me. We'll have a little birthday party that night. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. Thank you for all of the support and making this a fun night. And let's make it a fun night tomorrow as well. I'll see you guys for the stream tomorrow. Until then. Take care, guys.